Hey guys, welcome to Loose Leaf Mysteries,
the podcast where we drink tea and talk about the things we can't explain.
We're your hosts. I'm Mary.
And I'm Kendall.
And let's get spooked.
All right, I'm very excited.
I know, me too. This is our first real podcast. So we have a couple topics we're going to talk about today, but I think we want to talk about a beverage first.
Yes. What are we drinking tonight?
Well, we're drinking, it's called Mint Medley.
Yes.
And it's a Bigelow tea.
Yeah, which sounds a little dirt. Like, I keep thinking it's Gigolo, but it's...
Yeah, that's...
it's Bigelow.
We're not drinking any Gigolo tea. I feel like that would be unsanitary on so many levels. And just in case you haven't seen the movie, Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo?
No.
It's...
The fuck are you watching?
I know. It came out a long time ago. Maybe not that long ago. But it's really funny, and you should check it out. But no, not Gigolo tea. No. Bigelow tea.
Bigelow tea.
But the tea is really nice. I like it.
Yeah, it's very calming.
Yeah, it's like minty without being too much.
Yeah.
Like, it really helps because for lunch today, I had this bagel that had... an herb cream cheese on it, and there was definitely a lot of garlic in there.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like you should be really thankful that you brought mint tea.
Oh,
because my breath would be really stanky without it.
Yesterday, Kyle and I had Mexican food before we went out, which was a good and awful idea. But it was delicious. It's this like tiny hole in the wall place that I'll have to take you to.
What's it called?
Taquería.
Oh my gosh.
Leon.
Yeah. Shut up. Somebody recommended that place to me yesterday.
Okay, so I have a few comments. It is, one, fantastic, but neither of our orders were the orders we wanted.
Oh, that sounds like my worst nightmare, so.
But it ended up really well. So I wanted a torta with milanesa de pollo.
Something with chicken?
A Mexican sandwich with some fried chicken in it.
Oh, that sounds really good.
It's really good. But I didn't get it. That's what I ordered. I received a chicken and pineapple quesadilla.
Not even close.
No, but delicious.
Did you order it in Spanish?
I don't know. Kyle did, so he probably did.
Then maybe they don't know Spanish.
No, he said, like, none of them speak English. So that, and it was, like, super packed. And I'm so
maybe sure Kyle doesn't know Spanish.
Maybe. He only grew up in Miami and has a Latina mother. But he probably doesn't know Spanish.
It's very possible.
Yes. It was delicious, so I highly recommend it. Okay. You're about to be real spooked. So we are actually doing two paranormal topics this week, which is not going to be our typical podcast.
We figured we'd hook you.
Yes. And
leave them wanting more.
Yes. So everything, it could be anything under the sun, whether it's paranormal, strange oddities that happen in our world that no one can really explain, disappearances that no one knows how they happen, murders, anything. And I figured for our first episode, we might as well bring it back to our roots of Central Illinois. I decided to do the Norb Andy's Tabarin, formerly known as the Virgil Hickox House. This topic was suggested to me by my boss, Cindy. Hello, Cindy. Thank you so much for this topic. We talk about spooky stuff all the time. This was the one that she had the most to say about. And it's a bar in Springfield, and it has been open and closed multiple times. It is actually the oldest standing house in Springfield. Yeah, it's haunted as shit is basically all that there is to it.
Basically just haunted as
shit. It's really haunted. And right now it's closed, but they are reopening it, and I will get back to that later. I want to kind of start off with some of the history with the house. It was built by Virgil Hickox in 1839. He was a successful lawyer and railroad salesman. He moved to Springfield because he wanted to connect railroads from Alton, Illinois to Springfield. He helped out Stephen Douglas's Senate campaign against Abraham Lincoln.
No way.
Yeah, but here's the catch. He was better friends and business partners with Abraham Lincoln.
That sounds like a conflict of interest to me.
Okay, it gets better. They, like, all hung out at his house. His house was, like, a common meeting place and, like,
at
social place.
Virgil Hickox's house?
Yeah, Virgil Hickox's house was, like, a common place for, like, senators and, like, people of like political interest to like meet and discuss. And so like Abraham Lincoln and Stephen A. Douglas and Virgil Hickox were like all chilling together, which just sounds...
That sounds like the start of a really bad joke.
Yeah,
like really Virgil does. Hickox, Abraham Lincoln, and Stephen Douglas walk into a bar.
It was his bar where he died.
Yeah. And where a bunch of creepy shit started happening.
Absolutely. Well, poor Virgil Hickox. He died 41 years later in 1880, and the house stayed in the family, but then in 1895, it was bought out by the Sangamo Club. And that was a exclusive men's club. Gets better. Illinois governors were given honorary membership to this place. Honestly,
that's not surprising.
Like, but was it the type of gentleman's club that I think of where it's like strippers?
I don't know.
Is it just like that sexist where they're like, it's a men's only club?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like golf. Yeah, I don't know, because, like, there's a bunch of different kinds of gentlemen's clubs. Like, I know my uncle belongs to a gentleman's club, but it's not that kind of gentleman's club. Okay. You know?
That's just, like, what I'm thinking. Like, if, like, Bruce Rauner had honorary membership to a strip club.
I think the people of Illinois would know about it. And if they didn't, I would make sure they did.
Absolutely.
So watch your back.
Well, to go on, in 1918, Branson's Funeral Parlor bought it, and the lower level, which is more recently used as the bar, was the casket room and the chute they would, like, stack up the coffins. And around then was when the Spanish flu epidemic started coming in, and it was open 24 hours a day to accommodate for all of the dying people.
Great
time. And then during the Prohibition, the lower level was a speakeasy, and that bar continued business after the Prohibition ended. In 1937, it closed at some point, but it was reopened as Norb Andy's Tavern. It was bought by Norb Anderson and his very creative self. It was a really popular place, again, for state legislators, lobbyists, and attorneys. Again, how is that not a conflict of interest?
I know, right?
So the main portion, it's a two-story house, and the main portion has been a music shop, a beauty parlor, a rooming house.
It's probably like a real low style hotel.
Yeah.
Like a hostel before they came up with hostels.
Yeah. I keep thinking, like, whenever I think about the rooming house, for some reason brothel comes to my mind, but
I'm going to say that's probably not it.
It's not. It's just like brothel sounds like hostel, and I just have to let myself realize that it's not.
I've got to tell you, I've stayed in a lot of hostels. Ooh. Not one of them was a brothel.
Damn. So going to the scary stuff of today, a lot, just like I'm going to list off some of the common things that people report. Phantom footsteps, lights turning on and off, objects moving around, the ghost of a little girl. Everyone knows her as Alice. I looked it up. Virgil Hickox never had a daughter named Alice. Like, I'm guessing she didn't die in the gentleman's club.
Most I really hope not.
Then it would just be not a gentleman's club. Yeah, those are not gentlemen.
No.
But my guess, and a lot of other people's guess, is that she died of the Spanish flu epidemic.
Yeah, that's totally got to be it.
And actually, according to some paranormal investigators, Dave Roberts in specific, he is a part of the Capital Area Paranormal Society. He helped me a lot with this topic. He believes that there are many children spirits there, and they've recorded up to 20 EVPs of children's voices.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's so scary. Yeah. Like, I don't know about you, but whenever something scary involves kids, it's
10 times scary.
Yeah, it's terrifying. Like, children are scary normally. Yeah. Like, I never know how to handle children.
Dead ones?
Oh, like, God. I see dead people. No, thank you. No. That was even a kid. The kid in Sixth Sense. Like, he was scary because he saw scary things.
Yeah, no chance. 100% no. Ugh. So another ghost that's really common is Norb Anderson, except he's more of, like, a friendly trickster one, but, like 1900s version, which is, like, definitely now just creepy as shit.
Now it's just, like, old people jokes, probably. Like, jokes that people these days don't even understand.
Yeah, well, okay, so, for example, Women find Norb in the bathroom, like okay. in the mirror.
Okay, no thank you. Like, that's, oh god,
that's
no.
sexual harassment, that's not a joke.
100%. Can ghosts sexually harass?
Oh yeah, like have, like some go- like ghosts can like sexually assault. Have you ever heard of like a succubus or an incubus?
No.
Yeah, it's like a ghost that like rapes you.
Did oh my
you,
god.
Like an American
oh
my Horror god. Story. Do you watch American
I,
Horror
No, I just told you that oh, I yeah. hate scary things.
Yeah.
Good I thing just you're my friend. Informed you guys. And here she's over here asking me if I watch American Horror Story. That's literally my worst nightmare. No. I think I watched the first episode or maybe a first episode of some season. And I just remember there were jars of body parts. I don't know for those of you who watched that show. Yeah. I think I made it through 2 minutes and then it was way too much for me and I had to call it a day and I haven't watched it since.
Oh, okay. Well, in season one, Evan Peters' character, he's dead and he...
This is a spoiler alert, by the way.
Everyone's seen it by now. But Evan Peters, in like a latex suit as a ghost, rapes this woman and gets her pregnant with a ghost kid. Like,
oh my god. Bella oh my god. Do not tell me this.
No, it was not okay.
Don't.
It was not okay.
I swear to god, if I have scary dreams,
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna be so mad
you're
at
already,
you.
You're already gonna have scary dreams.
That's the goal.
Yes. So the former owner, he has said that he has felt hands on his shoulders and like apparitions of like dark men-like looking figures.
Great.
And then the Capital Area Paranormal Society, when they went in one time, the jukebox machine turned on its own, and guess what song was playing?
What?
Demons by Imagine Dragons.
Shut up. Okay, yeah. First off, great song.
Yes.
Great band, but I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be able to listen to that song anymore.
Oh, 100% not.
Ugh, ghosts yeah. are funny, but that's not funny.
No, like, that's just, like, they're really bored now. They're getting to, like, some dark-ass humor.
Oh, God.
And then people have reported feeling a scratching and burning sensation when great. They're there. There's this one, story that I read about it that this woman and like multiple people, but this was the first one that they took a picture of. She was sitting on a couch and they were recording the EVP and there was like a ton of activity on this couch and she started feeling a scratching and burning sensation on her back and
shut up.
She got up and she turned around, they took a picture of her back and it had scratches on oh her my God. Back. Yeah. No thanks.
If you're so interested in ghosts and paranormal activity to the point that, like, okay, it's one thing to listen to podcasts about it,
mm-hmm.
you know, watch movies, maybe read books, whatever you find online, but to actually go and seek out that stuff, oh, like, no. wow, yeah. I could never do that. Well, and, like, I commend the people who do because they give us all, well, they give us all material.
That's true.
You know, yeah. like, we wouldn't have anything to talk about
yeah.
if there weren't people who were, like,
fucked up
did
enough.
Not, yeah, they did not give a shit. And they were just like, yeah, I'm going to go in this haunted place.
Nothing can go wrong.
And I'm going to talk to some ghosts.
It's like Ron Howard, like, it did. Everything went wrong.
And it did go wrong.
But, yeah, so, like I said, dark phantom-looking apparitions. What else? Oh, yeah, there's been rumors of dead members of the Gentlemen's Club that are really unhappy about women being allowed there. Sexist assholes. And women report feeling really uneasy on the second floor and, like, the desperate urge to leave.
Ugh.
There's this one female travel writer who has talked about how she, like, will not go back into that house. She stayed in there for 2 minutes, and she, like, has ghosts in her house. So she's not, like,
yeah,
unaccustomed to this shit.
She's all about the ghosts. Yeah, and she, like, has dinner with ghosts. Yeah,
and she won't go back in that house because of how uneasy it makes her feel. Oh, yeah, pictures falling off the wall is a common thing, which is, like, one of those things I'm like, no. Like,
yeah.
For some reason, it's pictures falling off the wall that I've...
Yeah, as soon as objects start moving,
yeah.
I'm out.
No, absolutely not. So the current owner and the contractor were at the house and the owner said, I think I just had my first paranormal experience here. And he knew that there was stuff there, but like never experienced it.
The current guy?
Yeah.
The one who wants to open it soon?
Yes. So he owns it, but he's like contracting it out to someone
else.
Oh,
okay. Okay.
And so he said, I think I just had my first paranormal experience. He saw a shadow move upstairs.
Great. No.
And the contractor said, oh, really? I thought that was just me. Yeah. Not a fan.
Stop it.
Not a fan at all.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So, like we were saying, it is reopening soon. As of January, it was reported that they are opening it back up, but they are playing on the whole haunted thing, and they are turning it into a bed and breakfast, like a haunted bed and breakfast and a bar at the bottom.
I'm sorry, but that sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Oh, absolutely. Like, absolutely.
I get it. People are going to want to go who love, like, haunted houses and all this stuff.
Staying there?
But I'm pretty sure they should probably have a contract. If you're going to agree to stay in there, you better get them to sign literally every piece of paper that says anything that happens to me is my own fault because I'm an idiot who wants to stay in a crazy, scary, haunted place Springfield.
We are not liable for your head turning 360 degrees.
Yeah. Like any mental or physical trauma, not our problem.
Not our problem. Well, that was also something, it wasn't from Norm Andes, but people in like other haunted places have tried to file police reports or like sue businesses for getting like beat up by ghosts. And and police,
I really shouldn't be laughing.
But like police are just like, what the fuck do you want us to do?
Yeah, like I'm sorry. Let me go. What, can you give me a description?
Yeah. Oh, Norb. Good old Norb. He also is known to rearrange the bottles behind the bar to how he had it. And like bartenders will like fix everything and then turn around and then turn back around and it's all back to where
he had it. Oh my God.
Yeah. So Norb, get over yourself. Sorry. Actually, don't haunt me, Norb. I'm really sorry.
I know. I feel like us talking about ghosts is going to like summon some ghosts here.
No.
Like I swear, if my apartment becomes haunted, I'm going to kill you.
Mine already is.
That's very true. I think we'll talk about that at some point.
Yeah.
We'll save those juicy.
Oh yeah.
Those juicy specs for another day, another week.
Absolutely.
Keep you wanting more.
Yes. Okay, so we're going to go into some of the EVPs that I was sent from the Capital Area Paranormal Society, and there was also an EVP that I found through the Illinois Supernatural Investigator Society, and the last one we haven't heard yet, so our reaction will be completely authentic to what you guys will be reacting to as well. But the first two we listened to, and they're just still very creepy. Okay, the first one was recorded by Vicky Dumontel, and she's talking to a little girl, the spirit that they named Alice, and it is said that she resides in the home. And then after saying the word 10, you're going to hear a child's voice come in, and they hear it say, Mom. We hear it say, Mom.
It's so creepy. Okay, let's play the clip.
Now there's 10. Wow. Are there 10 spirits in the house?
Did you guys hear that?
Oh, so bad. You just hear the little, Mom. It's like, no.
And it sounds like a happy kid ghost.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Like, I know I said that, like, children are, like, the scariest things when they're ghosts, but I don't know. He sounded okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, maybe they, like, hear a woman of, like, mom-aged boys.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh.
Mom.
Mom.
Oh, God. No, I am not your mother.
I am not your mother.
Okay, what's the next one?
They're doing a final walkthrough the house, and Dave Roberts makes one last effort to communicate. At the end of the clip, you hear it's really quiet. They say, we are, because he's asking if they're there.
Okay, here it comes.
I'm not going to make you up. You need to let us know if you're here, please.
Oh my God.
It's like a punch in the stomach every time I hear it.
Every single time. Like, can you imagine if you were there and you heard that? I'd be like, okay, let's get out now.
We are, well, we're not, so
they're
bye.
They're here, we should probably get out.
No.
Okay, so now it's time for the really scary one.
Oh God, I'm not ready for it. I'm really not.
I don't think we'll ever be ready for it. Oh no! My God! Shut up. I'm so glad we did not listen to that at night.
No.
I hate that.
I hate that so much.
I don't think I ever want to listen to that one again.
Never, never, ever again. Okay, well, those are the EVPs. I am sufficiently in tears. I don't, but I also do scare easily, so I'm not going to say I don't scare easily. But that really gave me the spooks.
That was scary.
I hated that so much. That's going to stick with me. All right, so that is Norb Andy's. It's in Springfield, and it will be open soon. I'll post a picture of it online. It's a really pretty building. Get a beer and get haunted.
Oh, God. No, thank you. Okay, guys. So my topic, since Kendall's was kind of centrally located to us and something that our listeners might be able to relate to, I figured my topic should be something that you might not relate to and is more on a global perspective. So I decided to talk about a graveyard in Edinburgh, Scotland, which I actually visited with my brother almost 2 years ago. But it's one of the most haunted places in all of the UK, and it is home of the Mackenzie Poltergeist.
I don't fuck with poltergeists.
I know. That's what I said when I first went. And, like, you guys know me by now. You know I hate scary stuff.
Yeah. Oh, so this one had to be a treat for you.
Yeah, for me to voluntarily go to this was a huge deal.
Is this, like, your brother's idea?
No, this was totally my idea.
Oh, wow. Look at you stepping out of your comfort zone.
I know, because my sister and my brother-in-law, they went when I was in sixth grade, and they told me these horrifying stories about what this graveyard was like. And I knew, because I studied abroad twice, and so my brother came up after the second time that I studied abroad, and we did a little backpacking trip, and Edinburgh was on our list, and I knew when we went that I wanted to go to this graveyard.
Stop, tell me everything.
I know, I know. So the graveyard is called Greyfriars Kirkyard, and I'm definitely not saying that right, because I don't have a Scottish accent. And I'm not going to even attempt it for you, because I would do absolutely no justice.
Can you actually do it for me? Just like,
I don't even know how you would say Greyfriars.
Like, Greyfriars.
Say Kirkyard.
Kirkyard. No, that's not it. That's it. Not even, is it? Okay.
Sure.
Honestly, I think it's Jamaican, but.
So Greyfriars Kirkyard is the site of Bloody Mackenzie's poltergeist. And, okay, I'm pretty sure my neighbor upstairs just closed his patio door, but it was a loud thump. And I jokingly, we'll talk about him later, but I jokingly call the ghost that I think lives in my apartment Bloody Mackenzie.
Oh, what?
I know. Because Dalton's my boyfriend, and we jokingly call him the ghost, not Dalton, Bloody Mackenzie, just because he needed a name. And when Dalton and I first started dating, I told him this story that I'm about to tell you guys, and he thought it was the creepiest thing. When he first heard that I thought that I had a ghost here, he was like, oh, we should call him Bloody Mackenzie. And that's kind of what it's been like ever since then. But yeah, so hearing that thump literally right when I said his name kind of made my hair stand up on my arms. But we haven't even gotten to the scary parts, so let's dive in. Basically, Sir George Mackenzie was in the 17th century, and he was appointed by the king, who at that point, I honestly don't remember who it was, whoever was king in the UK. Go for it.
He'd be the king of England at that point.
Yeah, sure.
Like George, or I think, Louis. Or no, Louis is French.
Yeah, well, I feel like any King George is pretty... It's like, a good guess, because there were so many of them.
It's like 12.
Yeah. So, whatever. King of England appointed this George Mackenzie, and he was in charge of holding all of the Covenanters who were trying to oppose this religious restriction that the king was putting on in Scotland. So he was in charge of enforcing this approved religion. And so whoever was going to oppose him, they called them the Covenanters, and he was in charge of making sure that they really suffered.
To get dead.
Yeah, for what they were standing up against. So, essentially, this George Mackenzie was held responsible for about 18,000 deaths.
What?
Yeah, he single-handedly did not kill 18,000 people, but 18,000 deaths are
he's like Jigsaw.
On his shoulders. Essentially, yeah, he's the 17th century Jigsaw. He would kill people. He would cut off their heads.
No!
And like total Game of Thrones style, like put them on spikes around. Yes!
No!
Yes, on spikes around Edinburgh to show other people like, hey, you know what? If you're not going to follow the state-approved religion, then we're going to kill you. Yeah.
That's like Vlad the Impaler in Transylvania. Like, he was who Dracula was based off of.
Exactly.
God, I love a good impaling.
I hate you. So, basically, this George Mackenzie, he would corral everybody who was against the state religion, which was Presbyterian, and anybody who went against the Presbyterian religion was corralled, and either they were killed or they were sent to a different country to be like basically a slave or until they died. But there was a select few of these Covenanters who were actually imprisoned in a section of no place other than Greyfriars Kirkyard, this haunted cemetery that I went to. So they basically, they squared off a section of this graveyard, and they
Was it a graveyard at the time?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
It was a church graveyard.
Good.
Yeah. So it's been a graveyard for a long time. And so these people were basically just corralled into this area, and some of them, they were actually only allowed to eat 4 ounces of bread a day. So obviously, some of them starved to death.
I would die, like, instantly. Day one.
A lot of them starved to death, but like I said, good old George, my buddy George Mackenzie, he enjoyed really torturing these people. So he would, like, whip them, basically whatever they could. And it's widely known, this section of Greyfriars Kirkyard, to be the world's first concentration camp.
Oh.
Yeah, because it was for religious persecution.
Yeah.
And they were tortured. They were killed. They starved to death. It's very much the first concentration camp that the world had ever seen. At least one that we know about.
Yeah.
So, you know, these people were dying, and they were all at the hands of this guy, Bloody Mackenzie.
Mm.
The funny thing is he was married, and his friends, like, they never saw him as a brutal person. His wife had no idea that he was, like,
oh, bullshit.
I know. I'm like, you know what? I bet she did, but she was probably like, you know what? I see all these heads hanging around the city. I'm not gonna mess with him. I'm just gonna let him.
Yeah, it could have been, like, a Stockholm Syndrome kind of thing, but I don't know.
Totally.
Like, did she just, like, wake up and see, like, 18,000 bodies? She goes, oh.
Whatever.
The flight pattern. It's like, look, the flight pattern has changed.
Right?
It's like when birds, like, show up on people's lawns and people are just like, that's nothing to worry about.
Black crows? A flock of crows? Whatever.
Spooky.
Yeah, so she was just kind of like, whatever, I don't care. She totally ignored it. But yeah, like I said, he was responsible for about 18,000 deaths. Not all of them happening there, but I think the number was 1,200 deaths probably occurred within Greyfriars Kirkyard.
Okay, so like a significant amount.
Significant, yeah. So what do you do with 1,200 bodies?
I don't even know. Like,
it's ironic because they were in a graveyard. So, like, you know,
you'd think you'd have some space.
Yeah. But what did they do? Well, they decided to just kind of pile them up and then just, like, put some fertilizer on them, basically.
What?
You know, like, these bodies were literally just stacked upon each other and just left there until the grass grew through them.
No.
Yeah, so.
No.
Like I said, I was there. There is a nice hill in Greyfriars Kirkyard, and it's, like, entirely bodies under it.
Fuck no.
And the scariest thing is when it's raining. Unfortunately, it wasn't raining when I was there. Honestly, probably fortunately, because I would have hated to see bones literally popping through the soil. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Like on, cause they do tours of the kirkyard and on the website, they're like, oh yeah, don't be surprised to see, like a shiny femur popping through. They're not kidding.
I've got a weird thing about bones, and that's, nope. No.
I don't think anybody is a fan of seeing bones. Although I did spend a few hours down in the Paris catacombs once, which is really cool. You guys should check it out. Maybe I'll throw up some pictures one day. But yeah, so they just stacked all these bodies up in a pile and you'd walk over them. And even to this day, when you walk over them, you can sometimes see the bones. I know my sister and my brother-in-law, when they went, I'm pretty sure it was either rainy or it had rained that day because they mentioned that they definitely saw bones.
No.
And I probably would have turned around right
Absolutely.
Then.
Gotten on a plane back home and hightailed my ass out of there.
Exactly. So if this wasn't already a total recipe for, like, haunted madness, you know, George Mackenzie, he eventually died. Good. No big deal.
Good. Was it slow? Did they say
no,
that?
No. Like, he just, you know, died.
Of course.
And ironically, his tomb is literally maybe 100 feet away from the little corral that the Covenanters were kept in and where their bodies now lay. My God. Yeah, so they just, like, awkwardly lay next to each other in death, and it was peaceful for about 300 years. So from the 17th century all the way up until 1998, there wasn't any paranormal activity that was seen or reported in Greyfriars Kirkyard.
So was it, like, 1998 all of a sudden, like, all these killed people were like, you know what, I'm actually kind of pissed about this.
Yeah, honestly, it's kind of funny how it happened.
I need some representation.
The story goes that there was a homeless man who was looking for shelter from the rain because, as you know, in the UK, it's literally rainy all the time. So this guy was looking for shelter, and he went into this graveyard and broke into Bloody Mackenzie's tomb, which is famously known as the Black Mausoleum.
Not my first choice.
Yeah. I don't know why. The homeless man must have been really stupid.
Yeah.
But he broke into his tomb. And the story goes that he was in there and he was just kind of poking around through the other tombs or the other coffins that were in there, which people believe are Bloody Mackenzie's relatives.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. They did that back then.
Yeah. And so he was poking around through there when apparently the floor fell through from under him.
No.
And, okay, let's be real. It was probably just really old wood or something just, like, rotted through, and the guy fell through. But he fell into this chamber that was full of bodies that were not in caskets. And it was from the plague. They were bodies left over from the plague.
Good,
and
good.
So they were so just, like, encapsulated down there that the bodies were not skeletons. They were they were still decaying.
That was my worst nightmare.
I know,
fuck,
I know.
No.
And so this homeless guy disrupted the resting place of so many people. And can you imagine being this guy who literally fell through the floor and into just a pile of, like, plague bodies?
I would just hope, like, my neck would just, like, snap once I got there. But it wouldn't.
It wouldn't. Yeah, no.
Because you're just falling on a nice pillowy bed
of bodies.
Of plague bodies.
Oh, my gosh. And I guess, I mean, like, everybody says that the bodies were, like, slimy and stuff. But the thing is the guy got up, ran out. And apparently he ran into what was either a security guard or a guy walking his dog on the way out and just, like, scared the living daylights out of this guy.
Oh,
because
no.
The man's covered in blood
and
like,
slime.
Yeah, dead body slime and is, like, screaming and stuff. So he scared all these people and then apparently was never seen or heard from again. Ironic, right? But, hey, they did find a hole in the ground where the tombs were, so obviously something happened, and the door was broken in, so he had to have been there.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a funny ending. Mm. But guys, we haven't even gotten to the scary stuff yet. So the next day, after the homeless guy broke in.
Oh, so like it wasn't even like 1 year later.
No, it was literally the next day.
Good.
There was a woman who was looking through like the door, because there's a little window, and I'm going to post a picture online. From when my brother and I were there, but there's a little window on the doors to the tomb that you can look through. And a woman was looking through this window, standing on the steps of the mausoleum. And she says that she was pushed back by a cold force and, like, shoved off of the steps.
No.
Yeah. And so that was the first time that somebody had reported any activity. And Bloody Mackenzie, he was awake and he was ready to play. So then just a little while later, which this one actually really creeps me out. A woman was found on the steps of the mausoleum, and she had bruises all over her neck as if she had been strangled.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And she was, like, completely unconscious. So...
did she wake up?
I mean, I think so, yeah. I think she was fine,
I wonder if she had, like, any recollection of, like, who did that?
I don't know. I couldn't find anything about it. Honestly, like, she might have died. Nobody said anything.
Good.
Then again, this was, like, 1998.
True.
So, and it was in the UK.
Oh, okay.
So, who knows? But, yeah, so, basically, like, little things like that started happening. And since then, it's reported as the most poltergeist activity in all of the world.
Good.
Yeah.
Good,
so,
good, good.
And, like, I was there, guys. That's amazing. This scary cat of a person was there.
No.
I don't know how I did it. I really don't.
I honestly wouldn't. The closest, I think, like, the closest to, like, a scary haunted thing I went to was... I went to the Peruvian catacombs.
Oh, those catacombs are cool.
They're just cool in general. And I went to those, and those were weird. I tried taking pictures of some of the caskets, and someone did not want me to.
Shut up.
Yeah. I took like multiple photos with a nice ass camera, and they all blurred or had like a white
stop
light in front
stop
of them.
Stop it. You're gonna need to put those pictures on the website.
I will, because
oh my God,
it's so awful to look at.
Well, I guess at Bloody Mackenzie, his death site, there have been over 500 attacks reported. And I find that really interesting to note. And those are all since 1998.
Good.
And there might even be more by now, because I think the most recent reports I were reading were probably 2012. And that was a while ago by now. So yeah. About 6 years of ghostly activity left to report. But yeah, so 500 attacks. Fuck. And those are only the ones that were reported.
Yeah.
Like, how many people do you think went there and then, like, had something happen and they were like, well, who the hell am I supposed to tell? Like,
yeah, right.
Like you said, you can't really go to the police and be like, this ghost, he scratched me. Because, like, what are they going to do for you?
Yeah, right.
Like, shut
up. Or, like, if I saw some ghost while I was there, I'd be like, looks like not my business. Goodbye.
Exactly. I would just, like... tap out and be like, all right, this is your spot, you know, I'm not getting all up in your territory. But yeah, so things that people have reported, there's documented injuries, including burns, skin gouges around the neck and the abdomen, unexplained bruises, broken fingers, feeling as if someone's hair was being pulled. People were saying that they felt like they were being punched or kicked by an invisible Jesus. Attacker while they were in the Mackenzie tomb. Which is another thing that I didn't mention. There's actually a tour company that will take you inside of his tomb.
Why?
Yeah.
Why would you want to?
Exactly. Well, ever since 1998, they've locked it. Like, the city has decided, like, this is too much for us. People need to just not deal with this.
Understandably so. Yeah.
And then this tour company decided, they're like, oh, like, we're going to talk to the city, and we're going to get them to let us be the only people... who allow people inside.
Capitalism at best.
I know. It's insane. And these tours, oh my gosh, when I was there, it's like all you hear about are people going on these haunted tours. And they take you all around the city. And to be totally honest, my brother and I were definitely going to go on one because they come so highly recommended. And I would recommend it to anybody. But I ended up getting really sick in Edinburgh.
Okay.
I had already been out of the country for 2 months.
Mm.
And like you just get really tired after a while. And it really starts to wear on you. And all the traveling back and forth, like we were in a city for 2 days and then we'd fly somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a lot.
And that's a lot of time on planes and, you know, planes carry a lot of germs.
They're just giant fart tubes.
They really are. It's so disgusting. But yeah, so I didn't get to do a tour, but they're the only people who are allowed to take people in there. And so a lot of people experience things actually in the mausoleum, which is insane.
No,
there are people who feel like they're nauseous or like feel numbness on them. Some people have like sense, like they smell things or they hallucinate things. I know. And actually on the tour website, they have photos of like they document if any of the people on their tours have something happen to them. They ask for photos so that they can put it up.
God.
And like it's almost like a medal of honor for them. Like they want to be the tour group that has something happen. And I find that so terrifying.
I don't understand how that's a marketing strategy. Like, that just brings in such a niche group of people that's just
exactly.
Like, yeah, I want my fucking finger broken by a ghost. Bring
it. It's just like people wanting to stay at Norbandy's.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like the same kind of group. But, okay, this part really freaked me out. In 2000, Colin Grant, who was a minister of a spiritualist church and an exorcist, he performed an exorcism ceremony at the graveyard, and when he was standing in the cemetery, he said that he was overcome by the sensation of being surrounded by so many hundreds of tormented souls. He literally could not handle it. He had to leave, and he was saying that, like, the force was so powerful that he couldn't overcome it, and he had to leave. And then a few weeks later, he died of a heart attack.
No.
So many people blame Bloody McKenzie for his heart attack.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, that is so terrifying.
God.
And then his son even tried. Well, this was before Colin Grant died.
Okay.
So Colin Grant went, and then I think a couple months later, his son went, and the same thing happened to him. Like, he couldn't do it. He couldn't handle it. And it was just, like, too much was coming through that he had to leave after a few minutes. So nobody has been able to solve the mystery of the McKenzie poltergeist and all of the souls that are still there. So I find it absolutely terrifying, but so interesting at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, my. I'm, like, a little shaken.
A little shaken, not stirred.
I hate
ba-dum-ts.
I'm a little messed up after that.
I know. So that just, like, really brings it full circle for me, knowing that my ghost is named, you know,
after
Bloody McKenzie.
It's really dick of a guy.
Yeah. So that's the story, guys. I hope you liked both of our topics today.
Yeah, I hope you sleep tonight.
I won't.
Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah. Follow us on Twitter. Send us an email. You can yell at us if you want. That's fine.
That's totally fine. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Our Instagram is LL Mysteries, and our Twitter is LL Mysteries Pod, P-O-D. And our email address is looseleafmysteries@gmail.com. Feel free to email us any suggestions, comments, or criticism. Don't send criticism. I'm not going to listen to it.
I will. I like constructive criticism. As long as it's constructive, I think we can all be adults here.
I don't take it well. So send it to Mary. Yeah, we look forward to hearing your guys' feedback. We are really excited to keep this going. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, especially because that's where we'll be posting the clues each week for our topics. It'll be in ransom note style. Yeah, we have a website, but it's really not developed yet.
Yeah, so it's totally in the works.
Yeah, that part's irrelevant. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. We're really excited to keep this going. And yeah, we hope you guys follow us along as we go through this really spooky journey that I don't think I'm really prepared for, but well.
I don't think we are. I don't think we know what we got ourselves into.
That's what tea is for.
Cheers to that.
All right. Thank you guys. Have a great night.